Thank you. Thank you so much for Pastor. Thank you so much for Marie. Thank you so much. I'm grateful for that. You know, I'm very grateful. Heavenly Father, as we go into your word this evening, I'm grateful. Thank you so much for the privilege you have given me once again to share with your people. Father, I recognize that human infirmities and my frailties. Lord God, I humble myself under your mighty hand. I'm asking for fresh mercy, fresh grace to be multiplied unto me as I go into your word this evening. I duck under the covering of my spiritual parents. Lord, lay that grace upon them. Rest upon me for this period of time to help me to teach like they will teach, to preach, to minister as an oracle of God. As what goes forth, let it go forth in power, in accuracy, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. Cause our wills to become more humble, our minds further enlightened by revelation knowledge, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the Spirit. As your word goes forth, let it break yokes, let it meet needs, let it bring praise and glory unto the name of Jesus Christ and blessings unto us, the sons of men. As you ask for grace to redeem the time, Lord, not to say things that are unnecessary. Dear Holy Spirit, I set you once again at my right hand. Come and guide us into all truth. Come and show us things to come that will leave here edified, charged up to press on to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But I will thank you, Lord, just thank you. Only thank you for that which you do today in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The title of my message this evening is Redeeming the Time. Let's say it together, Redeeming the Time. So be ready. We are going to move very fast today by the grace of God. We have to redeem the time. Praise the Lord. Sometime, I think it was on Saturday, we were by the grace of God at the Intercessors Prayer Meeting and we were praying. And I forgot in the face we were, somebody was leaving. And it dawned on me as if God spoke to me. And I realized that I don't have much time. It's not a negative confession. I just calculated. I said to myself, I thought, do you really think you have 50 years more? Based on what God has been teaching. And it dawned on me. And this scripture came to me that Moses said, nice, and I said, teach us to number our days that we may what? Apply our hearts to wisdom. We are in a day that we, the people of God, that have understanding of times and seasons, should apply our hearts to wisdom. We see the wisdom as we continue. And once again, the title is Redeeming the Time. Redeeming the Time. Say it out loud. Redeeming the Time. Let's read our Bible, the book of Ephesians chapter 5. We read from verse 14. See, Paul was talking to Christians, the Ephesian church. At that time, they had the highest level of revelation. This is why I was talking about them, talking to them about the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You see, this church had all this revelation, but they were not redeeming the time. So Paul now wrote this letter to them, of which I will say, wherefore, let's read out loud, wherefore, he said, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall do what? Give thee light. Let's read it once again. I want us to be awake, please. Wherefore, he said, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee what? Light. Next verse. See then, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. We're going to read it again. See then, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Next verse. The punchline. Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Verse 17. And I will stop. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Let's stop there. Once again, we are going to talk about redeeming the time. Pastor has been sharing with us about hastening is coming. He preached a message some weeks ago. Very powerful message. I encourage us to go and listen to that message over and over again. Meditate upon it. It will sober you down. Like he said in that message, it will drive you to your knees like Daniel. Mom also has shared about a month ago about the harvest time. It's a very important time. I don't have time to turn there. Genesis chapter 1 or 2. I think it's 1 or 2. God says something. He said, why the earth remained seed time and harvest? What is it? 8:22. Please read on it, but I keep talking. Just comes to my mind. He said, we need to understand the times we are living in. In Genesis, God said this. He said, why the earth remained seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. What is God saying here? This is not in my notes. God declared that there is always going to be a seed time and a harvest time. You plant a seed today, there's a time. Verses, there's a time and a season for everything under the earth. God declared it in the beginning. After Noah came out of the ark, he put forth a principle. And he said, put all these conditions, these atmospheric conditions, he said, will not cease. Cold, winter. You see, in the natural, in agriculture, you need all these seasons, all these weather patterns to ripen the fruits. You see, if you are to plant a seed in the ground and it does not rain, it still will remain dormant. But rains have to come. The sun has to come upon it. All those things, you know, for the seed, they are necessary for the fruit to move from seed time to harvest time. That represents all the kinds of tribulations we go through. All the conditions, they don't look comfortable. Night, you know, shall not cease. Day, winter, summer, heat, cold. But it's necessary for the seed to go from seed time to harvest time. Are you following me? So it's very, very important. Nobody likes heat when the pressure is on. But it's going to ripen the fruits. So I've decided this Ephesians number 5. When I was meditating this afternoon, I saw three stages from Ephesians chapter 5. So I put stage 1. Put it in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. I'm grateful. It says, wherefore, he said, awake, thou that sleepest. We are talking about stage 1. Paul began to tell them, he wasn't writing to unbelievers. He was writing to the Ephesian church that had the highest revelation of the purpose of God at that time. He said, wherefore, awake. What does it mean to awake? That means you are sleeping. I was talking about those sleepers. That are sleepers. When you are sleeping, you are not conscious of your environment. If somebody is sleeping now, if they move near him, if they take his belongings, he doesn't know what is going on because he's fast asleep. Because he's just even. He said, "Don't sleep." He said, "It's going to come like a thief in the night." So why men slept? You see, so what Bible says? It says, "Awake from being fast asleep." That is the stage 1 that we must move out from. I dare say, by the grace of God, many of us are not in this stage, but we are preaching these things so we don't fall or slip back to falling asleep spiritually. We're talking about sleeping spiritually here. It says that be not aware when you are asleep spiritually. You don't understand what is going on. You don't know whether somebody has come into the house, whether they brought light, whether electricity, there's no electricity. You are not aware of your circumstances and what is going on. And otherwise, in that state, is in a state of danger. I follow him. That's why you see, when people fall asleep, when they sleep at night, that's why you lock the door to try and secure yourself so that thieves don't break in. I follow me. Praise the Lord. So the next thing is, it says, awake, arise from the dead. What does it mean to arise from the dead? He's talking about spiritually dead people, people that are not born again, their spirits are dead. So if you are sleeping spiritually, he says, awake out of sleep. Arise from the dead. It's not talking about physically dead people. It's talking about spiritually dead people. And let me explain so you understand what Paul is trying to tell us here about the grace of God. I put it there. I say that you are sleeping spiritually if you are not, you are controlled most of the time by the flesh and by Satan. So anytime, if most of the time, not all the time, we need to qualify that because we're in the growth process, we are growing. But if 90 to 99% of the time you are controlled by the prince of power of the air and also by your flesh, that is the sin nature of your flesh is what is controlling you, you are sleeping spiritually. The Bible says that the carnally minded is death. Is that the carnal mind is the enmity with God? Let's put the scripture behind it. Ephesians chapter 2, and read from verses 2 and 3. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Says, wherein in time past you walked according to the what cause of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now walking the children of disobedience. Next verse. Among whom also we all had a conversation. Confession there means conduct. In times past, where in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling what the desires of the flesh and of the mind, our by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So to be sleeping spiritually is to be controlled most of the time by the prince of power of the air, or to be ruled by your flesh, to be carnal. Are you following me? The second point here, to know whether you are sleeping spiritually, I put down here is this, or that you have to arise from among the dead. If you spend most of your time and effort in seeking after food, drink, and raiment. If that is all your Christians about, you see, you can say in your heart, "No, I don't do that. Now I'm not praying for." No. You see, if the sum total of your entire life or existence, what you are living for, is secular, you know, what you are going to eat in the house, you are going to buy your wife, your children. If you see something, like Paul put it in the book of 1 Corinthians 15. He said that, I put it here, I said the gospel of let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. You see, any gospel that says that your destiny is to die and go to heaven, that is the gospel of let us eat today and drink and we'll die tomorrow, because it does not give you any hope. Because all you are going to believe in for, let me get as much as I can, so before I die and go to. So your focus is, let me just keep getting this, let me get married. It's not wrong to get those things, please. But the Bible makes it clear, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added. So if all you live for is food, drink, and raiment, is what I mean, it covers the entire scope of many people, the way the Gentiles live. Because all they labor for in their life is to get a wife, get a good job, have children, build two houses, build this. That's what they live for. So I say that supposing that gain is godliness, it says, from such withdraw. Matthew chapter 6, verse 32. Put a scripture behind this. Thank you, Lord. I'm grateful. So grateful. Matthew 6, 32. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's together. Matthew says, for after all these things, you know that scripture. I don't want us to turn there. He was talking, when he talked about seek for the kingdom, he said, you should not, worry and all that. He says, for after all these things, do the Gentiles seek what things? Food, drink, and raiment. For your heavenly Father knew that you will have need of all these things. Next verse. But what? Seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. It says, seek you. It didn't say you should not seek those things, but your priority must be seeking first the kingdom of God. Next verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall do what? Take thought for the things of itself. Why? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So if you seek after food, drink, and raiment every day, that is all you do. You are forgotten that we are in an evil day. This third millennium from Christ, that the Bible says, the great and terrible day of the Lord. Things that are happening, at the rate that which are happening, are unprecedented. Like Pastor was sharing last Sunday about the gross darkness, homosexuality that has invaded the whole earth. We can't pretend that we don't see these things. These are perilous times. I think Amos said something. He said that it is an evil time. The prudent shall be silent. Silent does not mean keep quiet. It means be still and know that I am God. When they are going to keep quiet and you don't pray and let them subdue you, it's an evil time. The prudent shall be silent. The prudent is a wise person that knows how to manage his time. Praise the Lord. So, I've already mentioned that. That's why Paul says on 1 Corinthians 15, verse 32, just to mention, 32, 34. That was how Paul was talking. He said, do you think I'm crazy? I don't want to marry? What does this? He says that if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage it me if the dead rise? Don't talk about the resurrection. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Next verse. That is the summary of the gospel that is being preached today. Be not deceived. Let's look at. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. If you are sleeping among the dead. Next verse. Awake. Awake to righteousness. And sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Awake unto righteousness. If you go to Malachi, he says something. He said, then one of the purified sons of Levi, then shall the offering of Levi, the priest, that shall they offer up an offering in righteousness. So if all you are using the blood, the water, and the spirit, whatever you know to do, is to seek after things, you are not offering up an offering in righteousness, which you are awake unto righteousness. But I thank God we've been taught so much here. Most of us are not in that category, but we need to take heed. Because we're enveloping, the darkness is enveloping the world. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? It says Christ, we've mentioned we're still on stage one, where he calls of the Ephesian church. He says, awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead. We know what it means to awake. We know what it means to arise from the dead. In my thoughts, the thought just came to mind. Says, at times when you are sleeping, it takes the angels of God to wake you up. The apostolic and the prophetic, like they did for Peter. He had forgotten he was in prison. He was fast asleep. They woke him up. Bam! Get up! Why? Because he was appointed to death. If they did not wake him up, he would have died. I'm not talking about literal angels now that have wings or don't have wings. Are the angels, the messengers of God, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, the angel of the church of Laodicea, the angel of the church of Thyatira. I follow me. So please follow my thought pattern as I continue. The next stage, under the stage one, he says that, and Christ shall give thee light. You see, if you don't awake and come out from among the dead, which is also representative of Babylon, you cannot receive the light of Christ. So the first responsibility for every human being is to awake. Arise from the dead. That is, you change the company of people you are working with. I said to the church, come out from among them. Talking about this, Babylon. He said that you be not partakers of our judgments. You see, you cannot hear this kind of, you cannot receive the light of Christ if you are in the Babylonian church, like we've been told. You have to first of all awake, arise from among the dead, as you stop walking like Gentiles, because that's all they preach in their messages. And then what will the next is that Christ will now do what? Give you what? Light. Say light. Christ shall give you light. What do we mean by that? What light are we talking about? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm grateful. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Next verse. Now, very important. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Next verse. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Let's now see. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Notice, it is not Christ that gives them this light directly. Paul said, if our gospel be hid. So the light comes from God through the apostle Paul to those people. By the preaching of the gospel, this glorious gospel. So when we awake and we arise from the dead and migrate under true spiritual fathers, then we will now receive the light of Christ. That by the same book of Psalms, it says that in thy light we see light. Praise the Lord. Very, very important. So who are these people that give us this light? They are the sons of Issachar. You cannot give what you don't have. 2 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 32. Talks about the sons of Issachar that had an understanding of times and the seasons and what Israel ought to do. With 1,200 chariots. What is this? Sons of, let me put on the board. The sons of Issachar, they had an understanding of times and the seasons and what Israel ought to do. They were just 200 people. Is it 1 Chronicles? Yes. 1 Chronicles 12:32. They had an understanding of times and what Israel ought to do. And the Bible says in Proverbs, says, understanding is the wellspring of life unto him that has it. So when they come, they preach this message about the purpose of God. And we begin to hear it after you've arisen, awoken, and arisen from the dead. I now receive that light. See? And of the children of Issachar, which were what? Men, matured, that had what? Understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Say, ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren, they were not many. In the entire Israel, just 200 people, men, had understanding of the times as what Israel ought to do. What are we saying? Pastor, you have many instructors, but few fathers. That give you understanding of the times, like Pastor was sharing the other time about that. That is one of the messages I've ever listened to that so bad me down. It's by pondering upon it while we are praying that I said, to myself that do I really have 50 years more? I don't know. It's not a cause. So it's you must know. If you don't know, you're in serious trouble. 50k. It's not a cause. So what do you want to do here for the next 50 years? At the rate at which things are going, we'll get to you later. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? An example of this again, I'm in John the Baptist. John chapter 5 verse 35, talking about light. You see, they are the ones that have the light, the understanding. And you see, you need to move. John chapter, are you there? Put on John chapter 5 verse 35. I need to begin to talk fast. Help me. Lord just has to talk about Joseph. He was a burning and a shining light, and you are willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Now, what I want to get to, he was talking about John, but he said he was a burning and a shining light. But you see, there was a migration. The Bible says that John the Baptist was in the wilderness until the day of his showing. Then there came a time when he began to preach his message. There was a migration. People left the priests and all the synagogue and all that nonsense, and they went straight to the wilderness because they saw light. What I'm trying to let us know here, you see, you can say, okay, that light, you can't receive that light yourself. People have to give that light to you. Like by the grace of God, we have been given. Then you see the light. Then you walk in the light. You can't get that light on your own. That's the deception of Satan. Everything I'm saying today, I did not get it on my own. I can say with all authority because it's a fact. Each time I come to preach, I always go back to weekly and I begin to review them again. And I say, my God, Pastor, I said this thing some years ago. I'm just beginning to understand it. We understand. So that is the end of stage one. Which now takes us to stage two. Where now, because after you awake, you are risen from the dead, you receive the light of Christ. When you now have that light, now say something in the next verse. It says, see that you walk circumspectly. Put the Ephesians back to Ephesians. It says, see that you do what? Back. See, let's see, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. That after you receive that light, you can still be a fool and say there is no God, or that Christ cannot be manifest in your flesh. Like those people on the way to Emmaus, the Lord called them fools. Paul called the Corinthians fools. He said, Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Foolish Galatians. So he said, when you, what does he say? See means to make sure that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. That means when he says see, that means it is not automatic because you have a light that you are walking circumspectly. Many have received the light and they did not walk circumspectly, and darkness has come upon them. Sorry, state of the church. Many, what we are hearing today, amplify, let's together. Look carefully. Then how you walk, live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, lack of wisdom, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. I give you some testimonies. Well, not testimonies, something that God spoke to me personally that kind of fired me up. I saw that to a degree I've been sleeping. You see, to every degree we are all sleeping. You know why? David says something. He said, I will be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. So if you are not yet arisen like Christ, at a certain degree, you are sleeping. You need to understand. He said, I will be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. That means until you awake in his likeness, you are in his image of Christ, you are sleeping. Just that we are sleeping at different degrees. There is only one set of people that did not sleep. I go to get there very soon. What does it mean to walk circumspectly? It means to be careful. Say careful. Aware of all circumstances. Vigilant. Say vigilant. Sober. Aware of danger. You are walking carefully where you go. You are walking carefully. You see, because that light only takes you to one place. It's to the kingdom. So you have to walk circumspectly. Make sure there is no distraction. The Bible says in Lord Jesus Christ, when his face was fully set to go to Jerusalem, and the distraction came along the way, they said that he did not welcome the Samaritans. He called fire down and said, no, don't worry, was walking circumspectly. Why? Because it's been written of him that the prophet shall not die outside Jerusalem. Why should you go and get into strife with Samaritans? Did they kill you? Like John the Baptist? Like Pastor said some years ago, didn't the Lord Jesus Christ know that Herod had taken his brother's wife? Why did he keep quiet? He would have killed him before his time. He no longer walked in jury. It's a day to walk circumspectly. So I put it in my mind, I said, you can only walk circumspectly because of the light of the glorious gospel of Christ that you have received from following the sons of Issachar. That's the only way you can walk circumspectly. Praise the Lord. So let's open our Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 25 and read from verses 1 to 13. Talking about the wise and the foolish virgins. We all know that story, but it bears repetition here today. Pastor had to share some things with me just before I came on about on this. It says, Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto what? 10 virgins. Talking about the entire church. Which took what? Their lamps. That speaks about spirit man. And went forth to meet the bridegroom. Let's read together, please. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. Now, what made one some wise? What made some foolish? Next verse. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no what? Oil in them. With them. Next verse. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The vessel speaks of a physical body. Bible talks about the physical body. In the great house, there are many. But Peter was talking about. He said that he will soon put off his tabernacle. Verse 5. While the bridegroom was tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Where we are all now today. Praise the Lord. And at what? Midnight. At midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go out, ye out to meet him. It's a command. The bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. I'll come back to the next verse. Let's keep reading. Then all those virgins arose. That is, they awoke. And what? They trimmed their lamps. Next verse. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye out to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom one came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. The door will not be shut upon us in Jesus' name. Next verse. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Next verse. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch. Let's read together. Watch. Therefore ye, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. So we don't know the day, we don't know the time, we don't know the hour, but we know the time and the season. Like in the natural now, we know we are moving gradually into the dry season. Rains have practically stopped. We don't know that the Son of Man will come, but we know the time and the season. Now, I put it here, I say, it is the watchman, which is the prophetic intercessors, that cried at midnight. Why? Because they did not sleep. All the virgins slept. But those that did not sleep are the watchmen on the wall. The pastor was sharing with me. He said, watch ye therefore. They are the ones that did not sleep. All the other virgins slept. What does this mean in present day? I read as God gave it to me. This message, or the pastor told me rather, this message is the voice of the prophetic watchman at midnight. It transitioned between 2 days, between Pentecost and Tabernacles. This message has been coming and coming, that look, there is a change coming. There needs to be a shift from Pentecost. The midnight is the hour between 2 days, the transition between 2 days. So it represents moving from Pentecost to Tabernacles. So the watchmen that were aware, the Bible says that the shepherds that were watching over their flocks by night, if they had gone to bed, they would not have seen the angels. But they were watching. So when that thing appeared, they saw it. And immediately they went. Are you following me? So what are we saying? These watchmen are the prophetic intercessors. They are praying like Christ prayed. Same like the sons of Issachar. They had understanding of times and what Israel ought to do. Isaiah 21. Read it from verse, read 11 and 12. Isaiah 21. Praise the Lord. Let's read that. The watchman said, "The morning cometh, and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire ye, return and come." Next verse. The burden upon Arabia, in the forest of Arabia shall ye lodge, all ye travelling companies of the Tanim. What 12? 12. Go back, please. Go back. 12. Go back. 11. Sorry. This is where I want to get to. That one. Say, the burden of Duma, he calleth to me out of Seir. Say, watchman, what of the night? Say, watchman, what of the night? And what? The watchman, what of the night? The watchman that answered, he said, the morning cometh and the night also cometh. The Bible talks about the great and terrible day of the Lord. And when he said, the watchman that answered, I said, the morning cometh. Please go back to 13. Say, the morning cometh and also the night in the same day. He said, if you inquire, inquire. Joel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 talks about it. The great and terrible day of the Lord. Joel chapter 2, verse 1. It is the watchman that did not sleep that people started inquiring of. What about the night? What about the night? Because the darkness was so gross. And he says, the morning cometh and the night cometh at the same time. What does it say? It says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Next verse. Now describes that day. Say, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick clouds, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. They have not been ever like, they have not been ever the like. Neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. That is, in the midst of this darkness, where you have two things occurring at the same time, light and darkness, there will arise a company of people called Joel's army. But what I'm trying to say, it is the watchmen that have that understanding and that they declared it for people to follow. What is the message they are preaching? You can get an idea of that message from the 10 virgins. What is that message? Guys, go and meet the bridegroom with oil in your vessels. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. That is the message. That is the message. That is the message. He said, those that had oil in their vessels, they trimmed their lamps and their arose and went to meet the bridegroom. Then those that did not have, they went to go and get. Now, there's, like Pastor said, window of opportunity. Some of them probably must have come back. But the Bible does not say it's only five wise ones that entered. So what is the message? What is oil in your vessels? That is our purpose and destiny. Life of Christ being made manifest in what of it. Let's just read this for to suppose it. Knowing therefore, no. I said 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, please. Did I say 5? God, please give me grace. Grace. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life, say the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. He repeats it in our body. It's represented in verse 11. What is it? Always bearing, for we which live are always delivered unto death, for Jesus is that the life also of Jesus Christ might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Those are the wise ones that add oil, put oil in their vessels. That is what qualified them. Are you following me? Romans chapter 8, verse 10 says, it says that, you know, if the spirit of him that raised up Christ will dwell in you, that raised up Christ will also quicken or give life to your mortal body. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. Paul was talking about groaning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. Let's put it there. Just to support this point. For we that are in this tabernacle do what? Groan, being body, not that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. That is the message that these children are preaching. That is the message of the transition from Pentecost toward tabernacles. Praise the Lord. So, having said all that, this now takes us to stage 3. We've talked about walking circumspectly. And what is stage 3? I put it there. I said, you can now redeem the time before the door is shut. See, once you awake from sleep and you no longer walk like the Gentiles walk, seeking only for food, drink, and remedy, you now begin to seek for the kingdom of God. When you awake like that, you now receive light of Christ from the watchmen that are crying at night. You now begin to walk with that light and that understanding. You now begin to walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. They now bring you to last stage now, where you can now begin to redeem the time. You see, what will make you redeem the time is when you have an understanding of the times. If you have to catch a flight in Lagos, maybe at the airport, maybe in around, maybe just 30 minutes, are you going to be here? No. You have been planning early since maybe 2 days ago. You factor in, peradventure, God forbid, there's an accident, all these trials that fall on the way. You factor it in. You begin to think about those things. You'll be packing your things regularly before the time comes. Why? Because you do not want to miss that flight. So also what you do now spiritually. You see, but you cannot do that. Or to the degree to which you do that, will be the degree you have the light that you have, your understanding. When you have that understanding, it will change your walk. It will change the people you company with. It will determine where you go. Even I can say it will determine what you eat and what you don't eat. Because all those things matter. All those things, if the godly exercise that prophecies will begin to matter to you. You factor in everything. You now begin to redeem the time. What does it mean to redeem the time? It means to buy back the time. Now buy back the time. Why? Because the days are evil. The time is so short, folks. We don't have another 50 years. Believe me, if nothing goes wrong, we don't have another 50 years. If nothing goes wrong, we don't have another 50 years. Nothing will go wrong in Jesus' name. But I'm not telling you, because you know, he woke me up. He woke me up. I saw that this look for me as a person, and I had to wake up and begin to walk diligently, circumspectly, buying back the time. I will show you some of the ways we can buy back that God spoke to me. Simple things that take our time. We'll talk about it later. So we begin to redeem time. That's why he says in Matthew 25, verse 10, it says, and they that were ready. So if you don't redeem the time, you're not going to be ready. Like I said about the person traveling out and is in his house at this time, and the flight in the 30 minutes time is not possible. It's based on flight. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Now, why is this message very important? Because we need to know why it's very important. We talked about different stages, you know, and why we need to redeem the time. Why is it important to redeem time? The first point I have is very simple from that same Ephesians read. I said the days are evil and sin is abounding, bringing gross darkness on the people. Iniquity is abounding, Matthew 25 says, at an unprecedented rate. These way things are happening, darkness, moral darkness, no evil, things that people are beginning to conceive in their hearts. I saw somebody, Pastor Wigga sent to me in Zimbabwe, a 40-year-old woman married the son of 23-year-old son. The pastor was just preaching on Sunday. You see, we need to redeem the time. You see, if we don't redeem the time and get our acts together, that thing will envelope the entire world. And what will happen is this. It will not happen to us in Jesus' name. You know why? Mostly in America now, they can't talk like we are talking. Talk again. You go to work, you talk about, they will lock you up. I remember I just mentioned, you can understand how bad it is. One of my friends, his sister is over there teaching one of the schools. He said he just got to school very early one morning. So some young girls, two of them, necking. You know what necking means? In the corridor, publicly. He said she could. Number one, she stopped them. You know what? She didn't stop them for kissing. No. She was just saying that, well, look, you're not supposed to be doing this at this time. You're supposed to be maybe in the assembly or something. They almost sacked her. She got into trouble. She did not correct them for what they were doing. She was just saying, what you are doing is not the right time. Because she could not. Or you understand the situation there. And she got into trouble. She got into serious trouble with the principal or whatever of that school. Because she was a lesbian. So the prince, yes. Yes, yes, yes. The lady got into serious trouble. So the days are evil. And iniquities are abounding. But the Bible says, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. So we don't need to be afraid of abounding iniquity. God has promised us that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Like Pastor was teaching us on Sunday. Say, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Say, God will multiply to you. It will sequentially multiply grace to you. So there's abounding grace to overcome iniquity. So which means which must abound in humility and in the knowledge of the Son of God. That's how you grow in grace. The second point I have here is this. That God has promised to do a short work in the earth. That's why it's very important. We are in the season that God has determined to do a short work in the earth. Romans chapter 9 verse 28. And Satan also knows it. Are we there? What does it say? For he will finish what? The work and cut it short in righteousness. Because what? A short work will the Lord make upon the earth. He has to do it too. Because of the elect's sake. So you need to understand what God is doing. The rate at which revelation is coming out. He's trying to do a short work because God himself does not have enough time. Like I was sharing the other time, Moses thought that God had extra time. But he had forgotten that they didn't have time again. So this is not a day to make careless mistakes by reason of time. And saying it doesn't matter. No, we cannot afford another 40 years of wilderness experience. So God will do a short work. Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. And Satan knows that his own time is short. Revelation 12, 12. Let's go. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath. Because what? He knoweth that he had but a short time. Satan knows that's a short time. But the body of Christ, majority don't know, except the watchman. You know, in the natural, if you are supposed to have a paper, maybe an examination, in about an hour's time, if you don't know, you go and sit and be playing, or you don't even prepare, and be playing because you didn't know that, maybe you didn't know that change the timetable. Are you following me? You know, it happens like that when they close universities here in Nigeria. And then they come back, they just have to compress the, so they can finish on time, because they want them to go and serve. So the same thing, Satan knows that God is doing a short work, but many in the body of Christ don't know. So because Satan knows, he's come down with wrath. That's why you see all the darkness of the evil. You try and, why? It's because it's not really because of everybody, so to speak. The church, the perfect church, the critical mass that God is gathering together. They're going to form the critical mass. The spiritually radioactive Christians, like Pastor said, that will bring that critical mass together, that will cause that spiritual explosion and bring the air time revival. So you can see, that's why Revelation 12, 12, up here, you know, he said the man child company. He knew that when he saw the woman traveling, he said, wow, he got the change. So what did he do? He knows his time is short. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? The third point I have here is that God desires that we follow on to know the Lord by walking in the light of life. Let's say it together. God desires that we follow on to know the Lord by walking in the light of life. See, these things, they flow with each other. I mean, God is doing a short walk and God wants everybody. Not everybody. It's not everybody that walk. I put there Hosea 6:2. It says, after 2 days, it will revive us. In the third day, it will resolve. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. I follow me. But let's open to John chapter 8, verse 12. The Master himself said it. John 8:12. Let's go. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am what? The light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So if you don't follow him, if you don't follow the Christ principles, are you following me? You're not going to walk in the light of life. You're not walking in life that will give you that light and that understanding. The fourth point I have here is, we are in the season of his coming in us. We all know it. It's nothing new, I'm saying. Just to exhort us to redeem the time. Let's look at that. We are in the season of His coming in us. Now, I put this way, the Lord put it to me. You know, Bible says the dream is one. The interpretation is certain. The dream is one. God gave me another scripture. I put it, I said, the Kairos season called yet a little while. Let's look at the Kairos season called yet a little while. And it is in this season that we must press in lest darkness comes upon us. We need to press in. That's the old letter of mercy of redeeming time. It's a short period of time. A Kairos man, open door that I said before you that I must press into this thing. You see, if you don't press into that season now, you know, what happens is when the harvest time comes and you don't quickly harvest, the thing will rot. Then you have to start all over again. Rot in the field. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. That's why he told them something. John, he said, say you not that you have 4 months to harvest. He said, look onto the field, they are white, red. I think it's John chapter 4. He said, don't say in your heart. Can you imagine if the master was not ready and they went for the kernel of Galilee? What would have happened? You have to be ready before. Listen, you know the key. The key is for you to be ready before time. When the time comes, just slow. That's what the master did. Because it's not going to be on a feast day, like Pastor has taught us. So you need to be ready before time. Just like when you're going for examinations, you'll be ready, you'll have read and be ready before time. You're not going to wait till that time. Before the timetable comes up, a serious student will have been reading and be ready. So if they change the timetable or they move it backwards, it doesn't affect him because he's ready before time. So, let me repeat again. The Kairos season called yet a little while. Or else, if you don't move in this Kairos season by redeeming the time, darkness will come, but it will not come upon us in Jesus' name. John chapter 12, verse 35. John 12, 35. The master said it. Let's go there. John 12, 35. Jesus said unto them. Say, Jesus said unto them. Yet a little while. You'll be familiar with yet a little while in the Bible. Say, yet a little while. Yet what? A little while is the light with you. Walk while you have a light, lest darkness comes upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where he goeth. The master was telling them at that time, it applies to us prophetically today. He said, yet a little while. You guys, walk in the light while you have a light. What light? In light of the times and seasons we have been, in light of manifesting glory of God, it's just a little while. It's a period of time. Like that, this God is pouring out his grace. It's a little while. We cannot, you see, because on the other side, the darkness is not waiting for us. It's increasing. So God comes and says, yet a little while. What is it? Yet a little while is the light with you. Say the light with you. So you see, but the condition for light staying with you is if you walk in that light. That is, let me just mention it, by practicing what we've been taught. It says, walk while you have a light, lest what darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where he goeth. Let's link this to another scripture that confirms the light which walk in. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37. What does it say? The same scripture. But Paul now makes us see the light which walk in. He's not talking about walking in the light of prosperity. There's nothing wrong in that. But it's a particular light that you need to walk upon in now, so that the darkness does not come upon you. See, that Bible says, darkness covers the year, gross darkness, the people. It did not say unbelievers. So it's everybody is trying to cover. So what does it say? For yet, a little while, that same little while that Lord Master mentioned, he that shall what? Come, will come, and will not tarry. Talking about the manifestation of glory of God in his church, being conformed to his image. Next verse. Next verse. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man do what? Draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in it. That is, if he doesn't walk in the light in this Kairos moment. Are you following me? Next verse. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to save our soul. You see, those that draw back unto perdition are those that don't walk in the light. Then darkness comes upon them. You see, it's not that anytime if they switch off this light now, darkness comes. So when they don't walk in the light of what has been preached by the sons of Issachar, redeeming the time, use the blood, water, and spirit to perfect love of God in your lives. That is how they withdraw the light. And once they turn carefully, dim the light, like a dimmer switch, automatically the darkness that's in the world will envelop them. So that's why the master said, yet a little while, was the master talking. Say, walk in the light, oh, why you have a light? Why? Lest darkness comes upon you. For night cometh when no man can walk again. Praise the Lord. What that means is this, it says that, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. As of preparing this, the Lord reminded me of wilderness experience. When they were supposed to move in, and they did not walk in the light to go and possess the land. 40 years. It cost them 40 years wandering. How God has said, you have pampered this mountain so long. Can you imagine if you are looking for the door out of this place or to pastor's office? Let's say that's the promised land, the pastor's office. And then you spend 40 years walking around this place, just groping, groping, eating manna, and you're content to be walking around. I promise, just here. Why? Because they did not walk in the light. Why they had the light? Why God said, 10, 12 spies and go across. And they came back and they gave them more light. Said, indeed, the land is good. It flows with milk and honey. Let us go up at once. Then you know the story. 10 of them said, it's not possible. Then the other congregation joined them. I said, you are brought up to kill us in this place. They did not walk in the light. Only Joshua and Caleb. Let us go up at once. For God is able. Say, they are like grass. He said, they are bread for us. And then you wake up and you look at your flesh and it's taunting you. Say, you are bread for me. I will deal with you. Yes. Talk to that body. I will deal with you. If you like, wake up late today. When you get up, say, you again. Slumber, sleep. I will deal with you. You are bread for me. Because these are the little foxes that spoil the vine. Every couple you are discouraged, you say, this sleep, this pride, whatever, envy, it's like a giant in my sight. God is able. So we need to walk in the light. Because it's that 40 years, we can't afford it. Like I said the other time, I'll repeat it again. Because Moses was supposed to take them in. It was that 40 years that cost him. His destiny was to go in. But that, can you imagine if they did misbehave? We would have fulfilled his destiny. That's why I said what I said the other day. I said, you had better be careful those you company with, those that are working with you. Your family, make sure they are doing this stuff. Because whatever they do or don't do can delay you. Miriam delayed them for 7 days. That's part of the time. So how can they redeem time? Understand, that's why I said, he said a deacon, he said he must, on a bishop, must be able to keep his house in subjection. Or else does not qualify. We're not talking about qualifications. So you need to make sure. Praise the Lord. So it says that you should walk as children of light. Philippians chapter 2 verse 15. We'll begin to round up now. Philippians 2 15. Philippians 2 15. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What does it say? It says that you be what? That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Talking about the material sons of God. Without what? Rebuke. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We are supposed to arise and shine because our light has come. What? Next verse. Holding forth the word of life, and I may rejoice in the day of Christ, and I have not run in vain, and I labored in vain. Our fathers will not labor in vain. They will see the travail of their souls, and they will be satisfied. God himself said in Isaiah 53, he said, he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. That is what he died for. In that redemptive chapter. What was he waiting for? He's not waiting for you to have another jeep. Another house. Praise the Lord. The final point I have here is this. This is very, very sobering. It's part of that I said in weekly mass. I'll just read what Pastor wrote. Do you have any question? Wait for pastor to come. Say, God will hold us accountable. Say, God will hold us accountable for the blood of all those that die during this season of trouble. Because of our sins of omission, that delayed is coming in us. Of which coming, which is coming in us, will bring about the attendant glory and revival in the church. that will save some. God hold us accountable. To whom much is given, the Bible says, too much is required. He expects the more from us. Say, by reason of time, you ought to be a teacher. You see, there are some of us, by the grace of God, that we should not be praying that love prayer alone in the morning, by reason of time. Except when you are sick, or you are weak, like I've been taught, or when you wake up late. That should not be the norm. And I wake up every morning, all you do is the small love prayers. Take those work when you jump out. God will hold us accountable. If you don't hasten, it's coming in us. Because you see, if you delay, people are going to die. People have been appointed to death. Can you imagine if the master was not ready when the Jairus' daughter came? Look at the progression. The anointing he used at that time was going in spiritual measure. But yes, it was a progression. If you look at the pastor's daughter, he raised Jairus' daughter who just died. The widow of Nain, some hours. So you can see the progression. Then finally, Lazarus. So there's a timing. You have to be moving forward. Are you following me? So can you imagine when Jesus said, please come and my daughter is about to die. And he gets there, nothing happens. Or the video of Nain, and nothing happens. Everybody says, oh my shoe. Maybe God wanted that boy to die. No, no, no. There are many people that have died that God doesn't want them to die. But because we are not ready, have died. Because we are not where we ought to be. Go and ask from David. When David numbered the people. He numbered the people. And look at what happened. So this is to sober us down, to take this thing serious. But I thank God, we have yet a little while. If it's not, the reason why God is bringing this message is because there is still time. There is still hope. So don't go up feeling that nobody has killed anybody, please. I'm just trying to say, let us buck up spiritually. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18. Let me put the scripture behind. That scripture the pastor used in that week, remember. And just put it behind it. What does this say? God was telling Ezekiel, like he's telling us today. You see, don't look at it from a negative point of view or being under condemnation. Look at it as, I need to stop all this nonsense and get serious with God. Like what they'll say, become a fanatic, a spiritual fanatic. You are praying all the time. You are walking spiritually, circumspectly. That people around your office will know that what's wrong with you? We seem to be praying more, doing this. No, I'm not saying go and be praying in the office, but they will notice that there's been a change in you. People around you will know. What does Ezekiel 3 says that when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, abandoned. But what? His blood will I require at your hand. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. Psalm 102 in verse 19 says this. Says that God will hear the groaning of a prisoner and will lose those that are appointed unto death. Let God begin to hear your groaning every day in heaven. Praise the Lord. Now, how are we going to attain unto this? I'll just summarize. By following true spiritual fathers and staying under their covering. Obviously, that is obvious from what I've shared by the grace of God. Because they are the watchmen that are not sleeping by night. Are you following me? They are the sons of Issachar that give an understanding of times and seasons and what you ought to do. In their light, the Bible says, we see light. So it shouldn't be anything to disturb you or you find it difficult to come under their covering. Because you see, it was Moses that was in charge of Goshen at that time. So if you are not in Goshen, you will not have light. Are you following me? So it's very important. That is very simple. Thank God all of us are under their covering in this house. Then the second is by becoming a wise virgin through operating seven pillars of wisdom. Very simple. You know what the seven pillars of wisdom is? You can put it on the board as I talk. But let's open Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 as I begin to round up. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What does it say? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Next verse. And be not drunk with what? Wine, wherein is excess, but with what? Filled with the Spirit. Say, filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Next verse. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Next verse. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, In summary, use the blood, the word, and the spirit to pray to all kinds of prayer in the spirit daily. Are you following me? They're not using blood, word, and the spirit to wash feet, like Pastor has taught us. You know, at least 4 times daily, at every opportunity and every temptation. I don't need to go over it. Are we all clear on that? That's very important. That's how you redeem the time. It's only the Holy Spirit that can help you buy back the time. And you can only buy back the time by using the redeeming, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that redeemed us. Are you following me? So, but what I want to get at is this, as I begin to close. I mentioned last time I was sharing on Sunday, when God spoke to me about the situation I saw. He quoted Ephesians chapter 5 to me. And he said that be filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice Paul was talking about already born again. And he had the Holy Spirit. Paul comes tend to be filled with the Spirit. That means it's an ongoing process of being filled. And now likens it to when somebody is drunk. He says that don't be drunk with wine. Wine is excess. But be filled with the Spirit. That is, it now begins to be a natural example to describe a spiritual truth. First the natural, then the spiritual. That is, someone that is drunk physically will be controlled by the wine or the booze he has taken. He will begin to do the things he will not normally do. That is, if you slap him, he will not answer, he will smile. He can sleep on the floor. Same thing in the positive sense. When you are filled with the Spirit of God, you begin to do the things that you not normally do in your natural flesh, which is in summary to walk in love. And I said the other day, God spoke to me and he said something. He was using, I gave the example of life for children. He said, be always filled. You know, I had some challenges at work. I got angry or so. And I came back, I was very discouraged. I still got angry some days ago. So I'm not trying to say I've mastered it. But I'm not explaining the principle that God told me, which is not something different from what Pastor has shared with us. And God told me, he said, it is because you have not loaded in the morning. He said, look at this life for children. Each time they have visiting day, their parents will bring all kinds of KFC. They will eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. They cannot eat again. Then when they now get back to the hostel to eat, they waste the food, the honeycomb. That's why I quoted that scripture. It says, a full soul looted an honeycomb, but the hungry soul, every bit of thing is sweet. He said, he asked me a question. He said, how come they don't eat that food? He said, it's because they have eaten before going to the hostel. Now, the food offered them in the hostel is better. You understand me? Honeycomb, because they've been eating junk food all day. I follow me, but they would despise it. They won't eat it. So he now told me, he said, every morning before you go out, make sure you are filled with the Spirit. Are you following me? Which is, simply put, tight your time. A tight of time is about 2.5 hours. Pastor has taught us. Now, see the tight of a time the same way you give your tithes and offering. It is the first, not the last. If you wake up this morning now, and you pray your love prayer, and then you spend the other day doing every other secular activity, and now come to bed at night to read your Bible, you have robbed God. Because every day is an increase of which you must tithe. And somebody gives you 50,000 naira now, because it's the first, that's the first fruit that you take away. A scripture in book of Exodus, I can't remember, Deuteronomy said, do not delay. So it is that choice. You see, God is not, God forgive me, I don't want to use this word. It's not treating with levity. After you woken up in the morning, you didn't pray, you didn't fellowship with him. Just say, good morning, Father. You took one lock. I'm not saying it's wrong. When you are weak, please understand that. That's acceptable. But you just woke up in the morning, you didn't pray, you did not tithe your time, then now run out that day to go and walk. Who is more important to you that day? You've shown God. You could not afford to be late to go to work, because they're going to sack you or discipline you. But you could afford to wake up late. And you are saying God understands. No, he doesn't. So you tithe your time. If it is important to you every morning, you'll go to bed early. It is vain to stay up late, Bible says. And to stay up to forgive his beloved sleep. You will manage your time, my brother. You will manage your time. Your priorities. You're not going to sit down and watch one stupid film. I'm not saying don't watch film, but you buy back the time. I have not done yet. So you take that 2.5 hours. Now, practice makes perfect. So don't be under condemnation. Because I still missed it myself this morning. But I'm going to go back again and redetermine and practice again. But what I'm saying is, you understand that the first 2.5 hours belong to God. The pastor said years ago by revelation. He said, give unto Jesus what is Jesus, and give unto God, what is God? You know, I said something prophetic, by unction. He said, if you don't give to God what is God, you give what is, you not see what, you would give what is God to Caesar. You see, when you give God that choice time, when your mind is alert, then God will now multiply grace. So every other thing you want to do will fall in place. But you give me for people for life. So I thought that was the end. So he told me, he said, before you go out, you wake up, you pray, your battle prayer, communion prayer, do the best you can. Now God understands if you don't make it that day. That's what I said. But what I'm trying to say, don't get the mindset of it doesn't matter. Or God doesn't care. But once I pray this little one now, and then God doesn't matter, maybe in the course of the day I will do this. No, we can do it in the course of the day. But I discovered, I'm not preaching as a law. It doesn't always work that way. I don't know why. I don't have secret to prove it. But I discovered each time I'm able to get up on time and pray, the fourth word prayer now, I find that in my Bible reading, Proverbs, Revelation, Psalms, Revelation, always, something will come out that most times I must be, I have said, God, please, please, my man, please, my late, ah, God, in my mind, then the thing will drop a bit. I had my bath, then communion, continue communion prayer. It happens all the time. I'm not bragging, please. Please, I'm just trying to show you what we are missing when we rob God of his tithe. Now, I thought he had ended that way. Then later, Lord started speaking to me about how much time I spend on my phone. He told me, he said, when I say tell me again, please understand, I'm not going to make it graphic. The understanding came to me. Let me use that way. So, he said that, who amongst you will wake up and gossip? Sir, no, I will never gossip. Because you know it's wrong. But say this is your phone. You are carrying around. Before you wake up, people have sent messages to you. Bru, bra, bru, bra, bru. My phone has the sound of a cricket. Crick, 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 crick. About 5, 6, 7 have entered. Ah. The greatest mistake you can make is to open it without praying. Ah! You have eaten junk food that morning. When it starts coming, no, you are going to stay there. I look at the phone at times. Because I have to check whether it is pastor. There's the important someone. I need to just look through. Once I see my friend, my old friend, Icho, Suya, can you come? My coffee said, we're going. But see, when I had made that mistake and I read those things, that was the end of the day. But where? I behaved like a Kana Christian. I was trying to get back. I could not. So none of you wake up in the morning and say you're going to gossip. No. But somebody sends something to you. Either gossip about the governor, this person did this, and then you read it. Then you broadcast it. I used to do it too. And God corrected me. And then you know, then you wake up, you are laughing. Ah! The people are wondering. I think people do all the time. They are sitting down, they are smiling. I'm wondering, Akilon will go to Dubai. And it's what's gossip? You gossip. You will never wake up in the morning. In those days, we just sneak out of the boarding house to go and watch a film. But the devil is so sharp. He'll just send all these 5-minute clips to you. By the time you watch it 10 minutes today, in the morning, by the time you watch it about 4 or 5 times, by the time you watch it 10 times, you have spent about how many minutes there? About 50 minutes, 40 minutes. And you are saying that, no, I'm a born again Christian. I cannot go and watch a horror movie. And somebody sends something to you of those that are beheading people, or those that are those kidnappers that they put somebody in the suitcase that they called, and people are going to burn them. And you watch it the second time, you watch it the second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time, and say, Pastor Andrew, and he sends it to him again. Then you infect the poor guy. He to watch it his fourth time, second time, third time. He keeps watching it all day long. He can't delete it. And he sends it again to somebody. And he said, I have not gone to Ventura to watch a film. We have not gossiped. So, you know what God told me? He said, look, listen, let this be your standard. Apart from tightening your time, he said, whatsoever things are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, of good report, of excellence and of praise, think on this. If you end that come, pass it through that filter, you will find that you will not be able to watch anything again. You will not be able to, unless you don't want to obey that instruction. And the second is that by the time you pass through that filter, then you also told me another one. He said, look, come. He said, speak evil of no man. Somewhere in the scripture, I think it's in James. And he also says, speak not evil one of another. So it does, God does not give you room to speak evil about people or Christians. If you follow that rule, it's a bit in your mouth. You go to work. That's why Paul said, he says, the love of Christ constrains us. Ah, open me. You look at the thing. Ah, I can't watch this. Then just delete. So most times when they send it to me, most of my friends, once I just see, I'll just delete it. So in order to offend them, I say, ah, God bless you. Have a nice day. I send that to him. Occasionally, when I don't obey those laws, like I said, I watch it. So this is not to condemn anyone, but these are the ways we can redeem the time. Don't spend too much time on your phone. Before you discover online, you have spent 1, 2, 3 hours on nonsense, things that are not edifying. Facebook, whatever. So that way you can redeem the time. Tithe your time every day. Do your best. If you don't get it, ask God for mercy. Practice makes perfect. God demands immediate practice, not immediate perfection. Are you following me? Then monitor the things you watch. Don't watch things that gossip about people. Don't watch things that are horror movies, so to speak, all these 3-minute clips that you watch. Horror movie. You are feeding your soul. So, like I said, in summary, God wants us to redeem the time. The last scripture I'm going to quote, I'm going to stand up and pray. The book of Psalm 90, verse 12. As we finish reading it, let's stand up to pray. Psalm 90, verse 12. Was Moses that quoted the scripture? Let's together. Teach us to number our days that we may apply unto wisdom. Let me make it very simple. I apply our hearts to wisdom, the wisdom of a just. You know, some place of wisdom. What does that mean? That's the thought that God gave me that day when we are praying. That you don't have 50 years old. Like you're about to say, I bought it day. So you can't afford to waste time on things that are not important. So the main time you have is to live to fulfill your destiny. Let's talk to the Lord as we pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Let's stand to our feet as we pray. Dear Lord and Father of mankind,
Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways.
Reclothe us in our rightful mind.
Reclothe us in our rightful mind. In pure life, thy service fine, in deeper reverence praise, in deeper reverence praise.
The next stanza.
Draw still dews of quietness till all our striving cease.
Take from our souls,
take from our souls the strain and stress, and let the ordered life confess the beauty of thy peace, the beauty of thy peace.
Let's respond to Lord by putting one heart on our heart. Breathe through the heat of our desire. Let's sing that stanza.
Breathe through the heat of our desire, thy coolness and thy balm. Let sense be dumb, let flesh retire, speak good, the earthquake wind and fire. Still small voice of calm, oh, still small voice of calm.
Let's respond to the Lord by putting one hand on our heart and the other hand raising up to the Lord, redeeming the time because the days are evil, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Praise the Father. We confess our sins, and so we're clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. Father, please forgive us of all our foolish ways when we have been sleeping among spiritually dead people, living like Gentiles and not walking circumspectly, not redeeming time because it is an evil. Repent of all these things and knowing the time, that now it is high time. We awake out of sleep as we follow, diligently follow, true spiritual fathers. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. We cast off the works of darkness and we put on the armor of light as we walk honestly and walk in humility, redeeming the time as we daily put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Tom, in Jesus' name, Father, we thank you so much for your mercies. Lord, just thank you for your grace. Holy Spirit, thank you for love and help. Thank you for grace. Your grace is sufficient for us. We are grateful. Thank you for Pastor. Thank you for Mommy. In Jesus' name.